So while that's going around, I guess I'm going to ask your permission to not do the sermon today. Is that all right? We lost Scott Evelyn yesterday in a tractor accident in New Hampshire. He was going to be one of our speakers at our conference in November. And I'm just feeling led to lay the sermon aside and talk about several things attached to that event, but also in a big picture way, the things that Scott and I have been talking about for the last several months and that we've talked to as a church about. I'm going to kind of back up here and just give you some kind of, those of you who weren't here in the last several months, back in June before I went to Russia, I had been talking with Scott Evelyn about the season that we're in spiritually. And there was a very clear call to get into the portal, so to speak. Now, a lot of Christians don't know what portals all because they are in our Old Testament, the Hebrew words are translated door, and in the New Testament, the Greek words are translated door. But the portals are talked about in both the Old and New Testament. And oftentimes, I don't know if you recall, Jesus would tell prophets to meet him at certain mountains, and the reason that he would have them go to those mountains is because there was portals. Now, a portal is simply I call it a tube in the atmosphere. Paul said that he knows a man who had an encounter with God. He's brought up into the third heaven. And the third heaven is where the Lord himself reigns, it's where his throne is. Second heaven is the between earth and the throne room, and that's where the demons and things are. They're here on earth, and they're in the principalities and powers in the air that are talked about in the scriptures are in that second heaven. And then the terrestrial level, or the earth, is where we are, and of course where demons come and do their deal. And so there are certain things I don't understand in God's economy where he has made portals in various places in the earth. Much of why there's great warfare over the city of Jerusalem is that it's a portal. And so just to give you a little insight into that, we actually, by God's grace, created one in our prayer room several years ago. We were going to have a conference, and we prayed for 24/7, for 7 days, I believe it was, 5 to 7 days, and a portal was established. And you can't make them as human beings come to pass. God gives grace for them. But anyway, there are places where angels come up and down. Jacob saw it, said, here I am. I'm in Bethel, the house of God. And he saw the angels ascending and descending on ladders. It was a portal. And so there are places where the portals just go straight up into heaven, and there's a wall in the second heaven where the enemy can't mess around with the communication and things. That's the easiest way for me to explain it to you. So when we were talking about Matthew 24 back in June prior to me going to Russia, I shared with you guys that the disciples asked about the signs of the times, and one of the things that Jesus talked about in his answer was the last days, or the sign of his coming, or the end of the age is the most common phrase used. And Jesus said that you'll know when you see all these various things that he described, and you know, wars, rumors of wars, all these various things, that the time is near. And he said he's at the door, and that word is portal. And so I gave you a much bigger theological treatise on that back in June before I left for Russia. And when I went to Russia, I told our elders that we need to, as a church, respond to this word of we need to meet Jesus in the portal, or we need to set aside time specifically as leaders and as a church to seek God's face and get in his presence. And so after wrestling with the revelation that we had received, both Scott and I, the elders met last Sunday night, and we decided, or it was like two Sunday nights ago, right? We decided that we would apply or practice what the Lord showed us to do in this way. So what we've done is we've created a Thursday morning at 6:30 a.m. back in the prayer room. If you want to come and wait on the Lord for an hour, hour and a half, you're welcome to do that. All of our small groups, home groups, including Celebrate Recovery, are setting aside time in each of their meetings just to wait on the Lord and listen. This is a season to listen for divine strategy, wait on Him, and you do that through soaking. We call it soaking. You can put on Christian music and just be quiet and listen to the Lord, or you can do like what we're doing this morning. We worship Him and we wait on Him and we listen, and then the Lord's been talking to us. So since prior to June, I think Karen and Keziah kind of got this revelation before I did even. There has been a shift in how we've been practicing our intercession on Wednesday nights. So there's been worship and waiting on the Lord, and then people write down their revelation on butcher paper that's on the wall, and then Karen turns the revelation into a prayer that we pray for a week until we get to there next week and do that. So we've been doing that for a little while. So I'm just telling you that there are some opportunities in small groups and things to spend time seeking the Lord together as a group. Now I want to back up and talk about a little bit, of give you some details about Scott's passing, but also some things that he and I talked about 3 days ago that apply to us as a church. So Scott Evelyn passed away yesterday, and the first thing I want to say about when a man or woman dies, this is God's heart. It says this in Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And I want you to know clearly and never doubt that Satan can't take a life apart from God ordaining the day. God is the one who decides how many days we have, when we come, the whole nine yards. It's very clear in Scripture that that's the revelation we can camp on. So the devil didn't take Scott early, just like he didn't take John Paul early. There was a lot of crazy stuff, talk about all that kind of thing back when John Paul passed. I just want to pinch that in the bud now. It was time for Scott to go home. Second thing is, I want to say about this is, about 3 days ago, Scott and I were on the phone, and Reese, who's coming to speak at our conference, was told by the Lord to go visit Scott last week. So he was there when this happened, which is perfect for Barbara, Scott's wife, their kids. Everybody loves Reese. Everybody knows Reese really well, and the church all knows Reese. Reese helped. The church is made up mostly of people who were trained by Streams back in New Hampshire years ago. So all these young men and women ended up getting married and having families, and that's what makes up the Pinnacle Bridge Church up on the mountain there. And so I told you guys that back in June that we would start having encounters with the Lord, with angels, and potentially with the cloud of witnesses. And there's been some questions that have come up about that. I need to be grateful that we have a church that asks good questions like this. And so I want to deal with this. You know, the whole issue of cloud of witnesses is, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I figured when you died, you just went up and you played a harp on a cloud and floated around on a cloud, you know, and, you know, it's just kind of a child's view of reality. I probably saw a cartoon with that happening or something. I don't know. But that's what I grew up believing for some reason. And I'm here to tell you that the cloud of witnesses is busy. You know, when Jesus was hanging on the cross and the thief was next to him and the thief repented, Jesus said, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." And, you know, and that's how it works. And anyway, so I had an encounter. A being came into my bedroom last week. I'm just going to tell you. I never know what to share with you guys because I don't know where you're at spiritually. I don't know what you understand about the spirit realm or about the cloud of witnesses, angels, you know, all those things. But I'm just transparent and I like to be honest with you. So last week, a being came in my room. I was awakened by it. And so I was wide awake when this happened. And down at the end of my bed, probably 8 feet from me, I saw, there was a being there. I wasn't allowed to see its face or its hands. It was wearing this large cloak, and it was gold, and I could tell it was an ancient being. It was from heaven. I had no fears. I tend not to anyway with the supernatural stuff. I think I have some grace for that. But I'm looking at this thing, and I'm trying to see its face, and I'm trying to figure out who it is. and it's not talking to me, but after about 20 or 30 seconds, it raised its hand and it pointed to heaven, and then it faded out and disappeared. And I'm like, it's time to talk to Scott, because Scott always understands this stuff. Scott, for those of you who don't know him, he's had numerous dozens of angelic encounters, other encounters. He was a prophet, a modern-day prophet. He was up on a mountain in New Hampshire. This is how their church worked. On like Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Saturday nights, they were up there for 3 to 4 hours worshiping and interceding. And then if you went to church at their church, it was in a tent. It was an old army tent. So if you went to church in their church, like I did a couple Decembers ago, it's about 7 degrees outside. There's snow on the ground. They've got these big, huge, round propane heaters. And you have to stand next to one because they worship God for 3 hours. And then they have an hour-long sermon. And then they have an hour, hour-and-a-half-long potluck afterwards. So if you don't stand next to the propane heaters, you're basically a popsicle when you're done. And the tent leaked and the air blew through. It was just horrendous. They just got a new one, and he was all excited about that. And he sent me pictures, and if I was techie, I'd have shown you what's going on up there. But whenever, a year and a half or so ago, he told me to start calling him because he loved me and I loved him. And he wasn't my best friend, but he was, I don't know how many of you guys have friends that you say, I love you too, but he was one of those with me. He said it to me, I said it to him, and we would talk every couple or 3 weeks. And so I got on the phone with him about 3 days ago, and I wanted to share this encounter I had and get his take on it, because I think I understood it, but I wanted to know for sure, and I had some other revelation I wanted to bounce off of him. And so what we do when we get on the phone is we just share revelation that we received and share what we understood about it, and sometimes we'd help each other understand. And so last Sunday night, I was with the community leadership team upstairs in 46408, and just prior to coming, I had got a text from Reese, and an intercessor friend of Reese's had a vision, and in the vision, they were shown a courtroom in heaven, and the Lord was making a case to bring justice into Reese's life for all the things he'd been robbed of spiritually. This guy's coming to speak at our church in November, so we need to get a little bit excited, because this was God's way of saying, there's some breakthrough coming for Reese, and Reese's been in dark night of spirit for a long time, and he's been coming out of it like I have been, and just a long season of where things, heaven's been quiet, God's dealing with our character and killing us, Jesus said, we're to take up our crosses and follow him. It's an extreme version of that, I think, where God cooks stuff out of you so they can use you and you can handle it. Anyway, so he was so excited, he texted that information to me and to Scott. Well, Scott was in Florida on Sunday night. He was getting ready to preach or speak, and he was studying, and he was going to speak on portals to this church. And John Paul, who passed away a year and a half or so ago, appeared to him. And here's what John Paul said to him. He said, Scott, I don't want you to focus on the new tent and the pinnacle and stuff. You need to focus on heaven. You need to focus on what this relationship you have with heaven. And by the way, when you teach people on portals, make sure you tell them they can't make them happen. This is something God does. And then he said some things that he needed to tell a couple in his church that were doing well and the Lord was pleased with it. That's the information he got from John Paul. And a lot of people have an issue with, does the cloud of witnesses able to talk to people? Isn't this necromancy, seeking to speak to the dead and stuff? So I want to share about that here in a moment. But I shared with, I asked Scott, that's the first thing I asked about. I said, Scott, tell me about that encounter. So he did. And then I told him about this ancient being that came in my room. It was glorious. And he said, he's telling you the same thing he's telling me. It's time to focus on heaven. I go, he's been telling me this for like 3 or 4 months. And it's like, I might not be getting it. If he has to go to that extreme to send somebody in my room in the middle of the night, but I think it's not just for me, it's for us as a church. And so I told some of y'all a while back, We sang that song today. I never tell Keziah what to sing except the last song here today. You know, sometimes I get a song, and it's been that one lately. But Rend the Heavens and Come Down. About a month ago, I had this encounter in a dream, and Dave and Sherry Scott and several of the leaders and several of you were in the dream, and we were gathered around a table. And I looked across the table and I saw my dad. This is the second time I've had an encounter with my dad in a dream, and I can talk about that maybe some. I'm not sure how much I'm supposed to say about that, but anyway, the important part of this is we're singing this song, Rend the Heavens and Come Down. So we're crying out to God, asking him to rend his heart and rend our hearts. And my dad appears across from me, and he's pointing at my top button, and he wants me to button my top button. This is about a month ago this happened. And Pam and I and Reese could not. We prayed. We asked the Lord, what's the interpretation of this? You know, it's time to button things down. I mean, what does this mean? So I'm on the phone with Scott, and I tell him this because it's very important revelation. I know it. I can't let go of it, you know. And it's key. And he goes, immediately, he goes, oh, I know what it is. The Lord showed him just immediately. And he said, top button, when you button it, it covers your neck, and your neck in the scriptures has to do with your will. You know, you can be a stiff-necked people, or you can set your face like flint and bow. You might not get bow, but you go through stuff. You know, you handle the warfare. And he said, so you guys need to lay your will down as a church. And because what happened in the encounter, as soon as I buttoned my top button, there was a supernatural breakthrough that hit us as we worshiped. As we sang that song, as we rend our hearts, we were supernaturally given the ability to rend our hearts for the lost. And we were all, at the same time, bowing down before the Lord. And so it was a very clear message to us as we wait on him to lay down our wills, lay down our desires, and prostrate ourselves, so to speak, before him. Sing the song. You know, but as we do that, like today, I could just sense the presence of God on the song. As we do that, we're going to begin to see breakthrough happen, and he gets to define what that looks like. Now, I know a lot of us have a fair number of things we're asking God for, including seeing a release of healing back into the church, you know, the power gifts moving again, greater revelation. That's all good stuff. In fact, the Bible says very clearly that we earnestly desire the gifts, especially that we would prophesy. That's what the Bible said. I'm just a messenger here. You know, so he deeply desires to release that spirit into the church again. And so the last thing Scott said to me, other than I love you, was tell your church this. You know, he says, you got this ethereal message of getting in the portal and they need something practical. And so I'm like, this prophet, this weirdo dude's telling me to get practical. I think it's kind of hilarious. But he said, if you got your Bible or a device that you got the Bible stored in, it's Proverbs chapter 8. I know it's in my Bible somewhere. Proverbs chapter 8. There we go. It's after Psalm, not before Psalm. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 34 and 35. Listen to what they say. This is pretty incredible. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates. When you see the word door or gates in English, it's usually portal, and that's what this means. This is a Hebrew word for portal. Now, he says, and waiting at the posts of my doors. That's portal. So, I'm going to read it to you again. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my portal, waiting at the post of my portals. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. How many of us need favor? How many of you know the nation needs favor in this season? Oh, my goodness. So, let's deal with this whole, I'll talk about my dad, and I'm going to deal with the cloud of witnesses thing scripturally. What I can say about, I had a great relationship with my mom growing up. She was very loving, kind, prayed for me all the time. That's why I'm where I'm at, probably, at least a big reason for it. My dad, it was the opposite story, a very difficult relationship. And when many of you remember Jim Allen, he was an elder here. He passed away several years ago now. And the night that Jim Allen died, I had an encounter with my dad. And it was the strangest thing. We were on the 7th floor of a hospital, and my dad showed up, and he didn't have a shirt on. And when you go to heaven, you get a garment of white. And I saw him, because I'll admit I had some doubts whether my dad made it or not. But right in front of me, he put that garment of white on, and I was like, thank you, God. You know, this is amazing. And so he didn't give me any direction. In fact, he walked behind me. And so I went looking for Jim, and I found all this, you know, like a MASH unit after a war's happened, you know, or battles happened. There's all these bandages everywhere, and they're all bloody. And I went through this, the elevator wouldn't go up or down, so we were on, 7 is the number of completion in the Bible, or perfection. So we can't go up or down, but there's a portal in the back of the elevator, so we go through it. And the physician was standing on the other side of the portal. Who's the great physician? Jesus. And he said, I'm so sorry. And I looked on a wall. There was another portal on a wall that I couldn't go through, and I knew Jim had gone through it and he'd gone home. Well, I wake up from this encounter and I just burst into tears because I knew that Jim had gone. And so I ran to the bathroom because I didn't want to wake Pam up because I knew I was just going to sob, you know. And I did. And I don't know how long I was in there. And I came back out and I was thinking, may I need to wait till morning to tell her he died or whatever? Well, she comes walking out of the hallway. I noticed the hall light was on. She comes walking to the bedroom, so I get my hearing aids and I stick them in, and I go, Jim died. And she goes, I know, Cody just called. So I got it while it was happening, and Pam got the call, and you know, we were able to, you know, weep together in a room at 3 o'clock in the morning or 3:30 in the morning, wherever it was. And so, here's a picture of the grace of God. My dad had great struggles in his life, and he wasn't there to be a comfort to me here, but the Lord sent him back that night to walk with me, you know, through that process. And there is a picture, I'm just telling you, of the grace of God. That's how much God loves my dad. And he's a God of restoration. He's a God of reconciliation. And I was grateful. In fact, the Lord warned me 5 months ahead of time that I was going to have an encounter with my dad. And I'm like, why? You know, because God wants my heart completely clean toward my dad. We're going to spend eternity together up there. You know what I'm saying? So I had 5 months to get my act together. And then I had this encounter, and it was sweet. It was sweet. And so now here we are. We are living in extraordinary days and times, and we are ready for breakthrough, the power of God, the kingdom of God to manifest in a fuller expression than it has been in the current season or place we are in history. And he's sending my dad to point. My dad can't talk to me, and I think there's some theological things that I have some theories about, but I don't have any scripture to back them up. But he's able to point and be with, and that's just wonderful. That's just wonderful. So what about this necromancy thing? The Bible is very clear in Deuteronomy 18:11 and other places that we are not to try to call up the dead or seek to speak to the dead or be involved in any sort of witchcraft that tries to conjure up that stuff. It's all forbidden. It's forbidden as witchcraft. It's rebellion. And the difference between God sending somebody that's a cloud of witness member to us and us going to somebody involved that's in witchcraft and seeking it out is pretty obvious. The second thing is Jesus told us that what he did, we would do. And what did he do at the Mount of Transfiguration? He was talking to Moses and Elijah, and he was doing it in front of Peter and John and one other disciple. I can't remember which one. James. Just came back to my mind. Jesus is our example. He wouldn't do something like that and go, now, I don't want you guys to do this. Do you know what I'm saying? Here's another anecdotal evidence. How many of you were here when the Wanapum first came? We had the church set up kind of in a circle, and they came and sang their ancient songs for us. Those songs are 700 years old. that they were singing. They've never done that for any whites before, but they were really touched because we repented for not only our ancestors, what they did to them, but our apathy toward them and their plight and their poverty. And anyway, they were so touched by it that they sang one of their ancient songs for us. And we had Linda Prince, who was a grand chief of 12 tribes up in the Yukon. And we had, we had like a half a dozen other Native Americans here of various tribes all around the U.S. Well, three of those ladies that were Native Americans that are Christians, I saw puffy clouds come into our sanctuary ceiling area. These three, the Bible says things are established by two or three witnesses. So these three that of the 12 that we brought in saw when the Wanapum were singing their song, they saw all these tribal members coming from north, south, east, and west and gathering up there. And so Linda Prince leaned over to me and she goes, I saw Native people and other people, whites, everybody gathering when these people were singing their song, and nobody spoke Wanapum except the Wanapum tribe. It's just a tribe that's been set aside. They never went to war. They didn't do any negotiation with our government, you know, to get reservation land or anything. They just were kind of out there by the Columbia River alone. Anyway, so we get upstairs. We're on the way upstairs. Linda said to me, there's a cloud of witnesses came, and she talked to the oldest woman of the tribe. She was in her 80s, and she said, I don't know what happened when you were singing that song, but all these people, whites and Native Americans, started showing up, and it was like a cloud of witnesses. That's how we understand it as Christians. And the old woman gasped, and she said, that song is a song that we always sing. It's a call to worship both the living and the dead, to worship the Creator God. So we get upstairs, and I'm sitting next to the spiritual leader of the tribe. We don't call him a chief because they never went to war. He's a spiritual leader. And I told him what happened, and he whipped his head at me, and he goes, who are you people? Because they didn't think white people could be seers, because their whole tribe is. It's a gift God gave their tribe years ago. You know, and so I explained to him that God talks to us through dreams, and I find out they're the drummer dreamer tribe. So he's blown away. We're blown away. We're still friends. You know, years later now, and we did reconciliation with them. Anyway, so there's a big difference between God sending, giving revelation, sending down, and people getting a witch and trying to do necromancy and seek stuff. And if Jesus can do it in Matthew 17:1-3, with Peter, James, and John were there, it's the cloud of witnesses isn't strumming stuff floating on clouds. But here's what I'm going to ask you to do in this season that we've set aside as elders in the church. Focus on the Lord. Seek the Lord. Ask specifically for the Lord to speak to you, give you revelation. If he sends an angel, great. If he sends one of the cloud of witnesses, fine. But we're not going to go running after that stuff. We are going to worship God, honor God, focus on God. And God gets to do what he wants to do. And he gets to communicate to us the way he'd like to. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed who he is or how he operates. So, and then the other thing is when you get information, measure it. Do you think this being that came in my room would be pointing me to heaven and going, you would run hard after that and get revelation from God if it wasn't from God? No. And do you think John Paul was a demon when he came to Scott and was telling him, teach the truth about portals and, by the way, focus on heaven, not on what's going on with the new building up at the pinnacle, and tell this couple, Lord's pleased with them, and this couple should be praise because they are fantastic. They're just really sacrificing for the Lord. So, so test what is said. It doesn't say in the Bible, reject prophecy or reject encounters. It says, test all things and hold to what is good. That's the rules. And, you know, revelation should give you encouragement, comfort. It might challenge you sometimes, but it should never condemn you. The Lord doesn't condemn at all. So here's some things that I've told. So I'm going to have David come up here in a minute. The sermon's called Judicial Blindness. You're just going to really like that one next week, but we're not doing that right now. But here's what we're doing as a church, just so you know. And you know, what we're doing is, number one, is we're acknowledging that God has spoken to us, and he's asked us to set aside more time than normal to seek his face. So in your quiet times when you read the Bible and pray, please take some time just to listen to him. Just wait on him. Second thing is, realize that we're obeying him and doing this, and as we obey him, good things will happen. You can trust that. The third thing is that we're keeping ourselves in position to hear from him further while taking care of the body. So we didn't cancel home groups. We didn't cancel CR. You know, we didn't cancel Kelly's women's Bible study. I don't think that's the right application of the revelation I got. The elders were very wise in challenging me there and helped me, you know, because I kind of tend to want to do the radical thing. So thank you, elders. So how do you do this? Simply spend time worshiping and then spend time in silence and before the Lord, soaking to music, sharing it with, if you're with people, share with people the revelation you get. Revelation will come at varieties of levels, and what I mean by that is sometimes you'll get personal things from the Lord. That's for you. But if you get something that's more global for the church, tell the leader of the group, and they'll let the elders know. They'll send it to the elder team, and Karen Spanner, our head intercessor, and she'll get it, you know, to us, and we'll share as the Lord's given revelation and test those things. Thursday mornings, like I said, at 6:30, if you want to come pray for an hour or listen for an hour, hour and a half, it's a no-talking zone. You can say hi when you come in, but if people are already in the Lord's presence, leave them alone. You know, there's five of us in there. Everybody did great. You know, this last Thursday, it was super. So we're going to spend an hour, hour and a half listening to the Lord. And, you know, I felt like the glory cloud left the room and went to Sherry's so we could have bacon afterwards, you know. I don't know if that's going to happen every week, so we did that on Thursday. It was great. Probably the Sunday morning before the conference, we will probably set aside this whole service just to worship, soak, and listen, and share what the Lord's showing us. We're just really honoring the Lord in doing that, I believe. And Scott would be so pleased. Their church has been doing this for 10 years. That's all they do. He's resisted having women's ministry, men's ministry, children's ministry, youth ministry, and that church has hung in there and really sought the Lord, and it's incredible. It's an incredible place. You walk in there. I just walked in there, you know, two Decembers ago when I went. And the presence of the Lord is so thick in there, I just burst into tears. I couldn't believe it. And they did worship for 3 hours. It felt like 15 minutes. Scott spoke for an hour. It seemed like 20. Just amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. So we're going to do this until the conference in November. Reese and I were just, all we could do is text back and forth last night. I'm going to try and talk to him the next couple or 3 days. And I think we're going to do the conference. So we're just going to move forward. Those of you who are doing the posters and the other stuff, just remove Scott's info. We're just going to make it with Reese and Sean. If Reese tells me he wants somebody else, we might do that. But let's just put it together. We got it. You can just say "and others maybe" or something. I don't know. But we need to get the posters put together eventually here. So, in summary, the portals are open. God wants to interact with his church. We need his rest and refreshing anyway. When you wait on the Lord, what happens? He renews your strength, and you're able to run and not grow weary. God's positioning his troops right now for divine strategy, and we need intel to get victories that we're going to have here. And when you, as we go into this, I don't know about you, but our house this last week, it's usually really peaceful. It was like the warfare is like, woo, big time, you know. And so Pam was crying at the end of worship. I think she must have had to go upstairs with the kids, I'm guessing. But she stood up and she goes, "We're an intercessor church." We have a specific calling to be right on the edge of revelation, prayer, and it's a warfare place, and the church just needs to know that we need to be unified and know that it gets a little rough sometimes. I think those who've been here a while kind of know that, but I'm sharing it with you for those who are new. We're pressing into the Lord, and that's a really good thing. Sometimes it gets a little bouncy. She goes, but here's what she said to me. She goes, tell him we need to learn to fight from like that spot. We're not getting off that spot. You go, girl. She gets a little tense sometimes. You know, she's a really quiet and sweet gal, but she gets that look in her eyes. I kind of pay attention because I don't want to get hurt, you know. But she's like, she's ready to fight right now. You know, I think she's a picture of the church. She needs to be ready to fight. Here's another thing she told me to tell you. Starting this Friday, I don't know if you know, there's probably 100 or more national prayer movements. They've united, and every prayer movement is calling their constituency to fast and pray starting Friday for 40 days. It runs us up to the election. And so all over America, there people are starting to fast and pray. I think it's amazing. You know, you think about this. And it's called the National Appeal to Heaven. You know, we've been doing this focused on the song, Rend Your Hearts, Rend the Heavens. So it's time to get in the portals, isn't it? God's calling his church close. You know, when the bridegroom comes, there's 10 virgins. 5 of them had the oil, 5 didn't. This gets you the oil. If you get in his presence and draw near to him, this gets you the oil. This gets you the oil of his presence. It's the oil of anointing. I realize when I just spoke, all the stuff I just spoke to you probably should have been done in a conference and maybe not on a Southern morning, but well, I just feel like we needed to say this. It's kind of probably a little weird, but we just need to say this. So, can I have you stand? I'm just going to pray. Guard your hearts in this season and love each other really well. And as you wait, you're going to get things. I told our community leadership team last Sunday night, go into this thing with that great expectation that the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. The Word says in Luke 11, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, you're not going to get a serpent or a stone. You're going to get the Holy Spirit. So this is, nobody's going to get fooled here. If the enemy's speaking to you about, well, this just seems like it's just kind of out there. He promises us that he's greater than the enemy. The Lord's ability to bring you in, show you the truth is greater than the enemy's ability to deceive you. And when you seek the Lord with your whole heart, he promises that you'll find him. When you seek for the Holy Spirit for revelation, he promises you he'll give you that. So you can just dismiss the devil if he's whispering in your ear going, this is getting strange. Well, maybe. But it's right. It's the truth. Because we know the truth, and his name's Jesus. And we know the Spirit of truth. It's the Holy Spirit. And he wants to get with us more than we want to get with him. So it's a real chance in this season to get intimate with the Lord. So I'm just feeling led to release an anointing to hear God's voice for y'all. And the Lord will apply it. But I would suggest you do this if you're interested. You can pull on heaven. And the way you do that is you say, Lord, I want all that you have. You know, all that guy up there saying, I want you. I want a full expression of you. I want a full expression of the kingdom in the church again. So you can pull, it's coming into agreement together. And there's great power in agreement. So you can pull in heaven together and say, Lord, we want this as a church. We want it individually. And we need you to glorify yourself by giving us strategies that we might overcome in this next season. And that's pulling on heaven. And that pleases him. So, I'm going to pray over you, and if you want to receive greater ability to hear and see in the realm of the Spirit, just put your hands out like you want to receive it, and God sees it. He knows your heart, and I believe that there will be an impartation for that. Timothy received gifting by the laying on of hands through Apostle Paul and others. This giving impartation is common. I believe I'm, because I'm a pastor, I'm one of the fivefold, I'm able to do this, I'm entrusted to do this. So, Father in heaven, we just thank you for the life of Scott, and we bless him, Barbara, his children, the bridge at the pinnacle, Reese, who's with them, and anyone else, tribes and others, I'm sure are there today. I cry out, Lord, on their behalf, that you would magnificently glorify yourself and cause the great revelation to come. For when a seed goes into the ground, it brings great fruit, and that's what we need. John Paul went, and now he's gone. Right before John Paul was Bob Jones. These are some of the greats that we see in the kingdom, those who are your intimate sons who were called prophetically to impact the nations, and they've done so. We're so grateful for their lives, and we're grateful they're with you, and they're safe now. So we just say now, Lord, come Holy Spirit, and I just, as I stand in the gap for myself and my congregation that you've called me to be the under-shepherd for, and I just say now to this congregation, receive what the Holy Spirit desires to give you. Receive it in faith, and we just now ask, Lord, for the impartation of the Holy Spirit to come to see and to hear beyond where they've been before, that they might, with great passion and confidence, cry out to you for more revelation, for a fuller insight, understanding of the season we live in and what's to come. And we ask for divine strategies that would cause us to break through. And we ask, Lord, that scales would fall off eyes, ears would be unplugged, and that we would just see you, Lord Jesus, high and lifted up in each life here, and this life corporately as a body here as a church. And Lord, as we seek to see your kingdom come, your will be done, we just lay down our will corporately and individually and say, Lord, you manifest the way you want, but we want to see a fuller manifestation of the power of God in the kingdom. That's our heart's cry. And so, Lord, however you want to do that, whatever that looks like, set us up to receive it and walk in it, and we'll be sure to give you the glory for it. For, Lord, this is your work, it's your will, it's your way. And so we humble ourselves before you and say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the church said, amen. Keziah, can you just give a closing song? So just stand where you are. We're going to do a closing song. She's just going to play. If you would like to soak for a little bit before you go home, great. If you need to go, that's perfectly fine. Please talk out in the foyer, not in here, for the sake of those that are soaking.